Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine Podcast Radio. You're about to listen to an episode of Indistinguishable from Magic Podcast with Rafal Loes and Chris Abramson. Chris and Rafal have learned not to take themselves too seriously. Fortunately, they take their profession seriously. This podcast features no-nonsense analysis, seeded with humor, in a way that lets us all laugh at ourselves, while we try to address some of the tough issues in security. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
What's up, friends? Welcome to Indistinguishable from Magic, the podcast that takes its name from the Arthur C. Clarke quote, "Any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic." Buckle in, because we're not handing out participation trophies, but you know we're going to call some bullshit. My name is Rafal Loes, and joining me is my equally grumpy co-host, Mr. Chris Abramson, and we like to think of ourselves as the Statler and Waldorf of cybersecurity, because, face it, the InfoSec Goat Rodeo could use a couple of clowns. So drinks in hand, let's go. All right, Indistinguishable from Magic, another episode, and hello, Chris.
Hey, Raf.
It's another good night to record an episode of a podcast that is rapidly getting noticed. I'm pretty excited about that. Thanks for all your comments, guys, and the mentions on LinkedIn and whatnot. We're just trying to get this thing off the ground, so
Just a comment on the comments. I've noticed that the traffic's picking up. The people are starting to give some feedback on what we're talking about. I do want to point out, you know, we're still tongue in cheek. We like to have fun with this, hence the whiskey fueled discussion that Raf and I have. So please keep bringing it. We love to hear more feedback and from the folks out in the field that live this day in, day out. So
yeah. Well, so before we go anywhere tonight, I guess Chris is a bullet night.
It's a bullet night, man.
I'm on the rye. You're on the bourbon. Cube and, of course, straight over here.
Yeah.
So, okay. I'm just going to start off by saying this. Chicago got snow dumped on it. Geez. It was 37 degrees in Georgia today. It ain't supposed to be that cold down here. I'm just saying that right now.
So, we have, I think, what equates to like 10 to 12 inches of snow on the ground here. My shoulder's feeling it. Shoveling.
I tell you what, it was so cold that my camera is on the back patio. My security camera caught a couple of trash pandas huddled together against my grill. And one of them, it's kind of funny. One of them standing on its hind legs, stands up on its hind legs, looks up at the door like, "Please, sir, would you let us in?" No. Like, I'm glad I didn't see that, because that would have been kind of funny.
I, you know what, here, the raccoons love to just downhill ski like the rest of us, so.
You're in the Midwest. What are they down? It's more like down, I guess it's a hill. It's not a mountain, right?
You know.
All right, so topic for this week, now that we've got drinks in hands, cheers all you out there. So I figured this would be a good one because apparently it needs to be rehashed. Last week on Thursday night, Ken Fishkin was kind enough to invite me into the ISE Squared New York, New Jersey chapter. Some really fine companies in attendance. We have a pretty good crowd. And I brought back a topic I've been talking about for a while, security metrics. And I say this, why I went back to this first in a second here, but we got great audience and got lots of feedback. I want to talk about some of that feedback with you, Chris. But what's really funny is about 6 months ago, sort of completely out of the blue, I got 7 or 8 emails and DMs and actually one text, which is freaky because, I mean,
who texts? Still goes back.
Yeah, well, my phone number was on my HP business card. This is how far back this goes. From a talk I gave at, I think, B-Sides Nashville called Magic Numbers. It was about metrics and AppSec, okay? And I'm like, did people just find this all of a sudden? It's like 6 or 7 or 8, I think.
I think I remember when you actually put that original prezo together.
Yeah. So I was pretty excited about it. And so I've been giving kind of advice on it, and kind of, and somebody said we should rehash that and really kind of update it. And then I sat there and I told Ken I'd do it. And I sat there and I'm like, how should I update this presentation? I'm going, you know, I don't think I need to. So I rebuilt the presentation, obviously less AppSec swing, but you know, the things hold true. The same things I said back then hold true, but it sort of reminded me that as an industry, we are still in spite of the fact that FAIR exists, in spite of the fact that there's, you know, 100 different
framework after metric, framework after framework
and groups that get together and Metricon and all these things, right? We still broadly kind of suck at explaining what we do and why we do it. And if A, then B, and that did C, and therefore C, like we're still not good at it.
No, we're not. Here's what I've noticed about it, information security and just in general how we live within the larger ecosystem of a business. Okay, we are the redheaded stepchild of the IT organization.
Yeah.
Okay. We're in this weird in between. Okay. And for the most part, we're probably the one organization largely driven off of metrics, but yet we struggle at putting metrics together and articulating the actual outcome of what they mean and how they affect the business day to day. I mean, you know, you guys haven't heard me talk about this, and I will delve just slightly into bringing it up and you know how I and what I do, but I do work in the retail sector, okay? And the reality is we are a very metric driven organization. Like KPIs about how well a store is doing, how much money's coming in, how much traffic, what's driving the best sales. I mean, retail is probably one of the biggest metric driven organizations out there. I mean, not to say that other brands, organizations, industry sectors don't have metrics. I mean, even manufacturing still has to have metrics and, you know, how much you're outputting, how good it is, quality, all that kind of stuff. And largely if us as an organization dived a little bit into what the other side of our businesses are doing and look at the metrics they're producing, I bet you we'd find some sweet spots as far as what we could be doing in our own industry and how we help the business to be driving some of those metrics as well.
Yeah. Well, it seems, although this is kind of what frustrates me, it seems like we are hell-bent on reinventing the proverbial wheel for ourselves. it's frustrating because we have it comes back to something I've said a million times. It comes back to the fact that we develop our own language. We've developed our own the way we speak about certain things, how we treat, you know, the Inigo Montoya problem of risk, where I simply don't think we understand the word does not mean what we think it means. And there's a ton to this, but more importantly, I'm going to bring this back to my favorite topic, security tools, because this makes sense to me. We've got this challenge, all right? We're trying to understand and make sense of the fundamental question of are we better, right? Yep. Are we better than yesterday? Are we better than our competitor? Are we better than the attacker? Are we better? And what we throw out is, well, we've had this many attacks, or we've had this many malware infections, or we've had – and so somebody contacted me, and I won't use their name because it was a really good comment and I don't want to get them in trouble, but we had a chat afterwards after I gave the talk, and the person basically said, listen, I totally feel what you're saying. And so I said, listen, I've seen this over and over, and the story repeats itself, and it kind of goes into
the worst offenses are in the endpoint space. Like endpoint security metrics are god awful, right? What are you going to tell me? And the person said, "Listen, here's what I'm hearing.
Number of malware attacks."
My predecessor used to report how many malware infections we got. And the fact that last month was better than this month, or this month was worse than last month. And that's how they would get budget, or that's how they would ask for more budget. And I'm going, and I think they sensed that I could, that I was just like, my eyes were going slowly cross. And I just wanted to, you know, see if my head could really take that wall down over there. And so the person's like, but believe me, this is not what I'm trying to do now. And the comment that kind of stuck with me was, so what if malware lands on a machine? If it doesn't detonate, if it doesn't exfiltrate anything, if it doesn't do what it's supposed to do, does it matter? Right? What if every machine in your environment got infected with malware that was supposed to exfiltrate data, but because of the way you've got your perimeter set up, or you've got micro segmentation or whatever, none of those things could beacon out?
Set aside. I mean, yeah, you're right. Segmentation. Hell, for all that, you know, the antivirus platform or advanced threat platform, whatever you want to call it, whatever tools you got, quarantined it, addressed it. I mean, that's the point. That's the whole point. We're trying to drive tools into an organization that protect us, that prevent the blast radius from turning in, you know, going from, you know, small anthill to Mount Everest. Okay. Yeah. But I think to bring this back to the topic at hand is the only way you get those tools is if you can measure progress. And the only way you can measure progress is by having metrics, but those metrics have to be meaningful. They have to tell a story. They have to do something. And I think what you're saying is the comments or the talk that you had after the presentation is, we're still not there.
Well, so this takes me back, and I had to just look up this article because I had it saved here. There is an article that goes back to 2018 that I've used in reference many times over. It's in NextGov, and the headline is Pentagon thwarts 36 million email breach attempts daily. Okay. First off, holy cow, 36 million breach attempts daily. What kind of magical army? Oh no! Oh, these are just malicious links and or pieces of crap that get sent in email. Like 99.999999 of which are never make it past filters. So while that's technically true, maybe to say it's sensationalized is sort of like saying, yeah. You know, a few snowflakes fell in Chicago this past weekend while you're out there digging from out.
Well,
from,
like, I mean, it's that's the thing is you're taking a number and good. Hey, good for you. You blocked the attack. You prevented the data from heading out the door. You did you did your job right. But that's the point. You did your job right. Now start measuring the things where there's actually meaningful impact, like time to move to the next step, which is where are you still having problems? And you and I've talked about this one forever. I'm going to go back, and I know we didn't want to make this about AppSec, but I'm going to dive back to that one for a second. Okay. Because
are you going to go back to when I was selling you,
I'm going to go back to when you were selling me software. Yes, I am.
2008.
But here's the interesting thing, and it took years to even watch the organization I'm in grow past the, well, if I have a firewall, I'm good. Okay, it's now time to start, you know, shifting left and start identifying the problems further. And yes, I did say shift left. It's time to start, you know, basically wrapping these fixes in and looking at this stuff. And I'll be honest, AppSec is probably the one area it I don't know why it's hard, but it's a metric area that somehow defies logic. Okay. And I think it's because of the way, and this is going to apply to any metric you and I talk about. This is going to apply to any,
I'm giving you the rock eye.
I know he's, but I'm going to get to a point here. The point I'm trying to get to here is the measurement that we put on stuff doesn't align with the rest of the organization's expectations of what it is that we need to be measuring to get us to that point. Okay. To get us to that, how do we, you know, put our program together? Development teams get budget because that, you know, one, they're building stuff to help sell stuff or move stuff or transfer stuff, whatever. But they also get budget because they develop good software. They develop good software because they find the problems far enough back in the process to then put a backlog in, do all that wonderful stuff. They're doing that because it's metrics. They're tracking flaws in their applications. Where do they need to focus? All that wonderful stuff. Security, being the redheaded stepchild, lives outside that stream. And I think far too often we find ourselves living too far outside the stream of rest of the IT organization. We don't blend the message to basically drive home what it is we're trying to accomplish and do.
That's fair. I see that. I have seen that. And I'm probably not done seeing the end of that yet.
Now,
it's really interesting, though. It is really interesting because one of the examples I used in an AppSec talk was it was a slide from a CISO's presentation. I lifted one of the graphs and I said, okay, what does this graph tell you? And on the y-axis, it had number of vulnerabilities. On the x-axis, it had the release number, right, left to right increasing order of the application. And it started out high, got low, started creeping up again, got really high, went almost down to zero, and then started coming back up again. I'm like, what does this graph show? And people stared at it and were like, and I can tell people were thinking, this is a completely failed software security program. And what I had to tell them was actually no, because what these were measuring is the number of critical vulnerabilities, say, okay? It didn't measure the volume of the code being updated. It didn't. So that giant spike application, you know, several years old application, security started measuring the number of defects, critical defects in it, started kind of whittling down slowly. They did some changes. The number went up again. They started whittling that down slowly. They basically did a code base full rewrite. Massive spike. Why was there a massive spike? But anyway, and then they started whittling them down slowly. And then and then they would go back up again as the new development team took over, or they bid out to another low cost, you know, development house, whatever.
Yeah, it's going to
without that context. No idea.
Well, yeah, without the context of what happened in the spike, what happened in the downtime, you know. Hey, we had a really great development team that wrote really awesome software. Zero vulnerabilities. Yeah.
Right.
All right. We're doing great. Oh, we just bid out all of our software development to a third party in some far off land. Okay. There's probably going to be a learning curve. They got to get used to what we expect. Okay. Expect to see a trend up and level off and maybe back down again over, you know, 3 to 4 months. Okay. But you're right. There's no context there. You're just looking at a trend line and it's like, okay. What do you take from that? So.
Well, I like asking people that write these types of decks. I said, one of my favorite lines from Looney Tunes is Marvin Martian. Where's the kaboom? There was supposed to be an earth shattering kaboom.
Oh my God, you do that way too well.
Yeah, I know. I've been told. So one of the things that kind of that catches my attention about this every time is, okay, you've got a graph. So what? Like, what's the so? What are you trying to get somebody to come to the conclusion of? Right? You have to have a goal, and you have to have a conclusion, and you have to have a narrative, because what's the goal? What are you trying to show? The line's going up, the line's going down. Who cares? What does that line mean? Nothing. Okay.
Yep.
What is the narrative you're telling? That's the important part, because if I just show you a line going up, I use this at mental exercises. Okay, if I just tell you we're in a car and we have only 25 miles left of range, right? And I said, okay, guys, what does that mean to you? And some people said, oh my gosh, we're going to run out of gas. Maybe we're going to get trapped somewhere in the middle of a desert. Or I said, well, what if I told you that we were pulling up to a gas station? Like, oh, well, that's no big deal. I said, but that's a different context than we're 175 miles in the middle of Death Valley, California. You know, it's 175 miles to the next gas stop, right? It way different context. But if I don't give you the context, your brain fills it in on your own.
Yep.
And then, of course, the conclusion, like, what are you trying to get to do?
Yeah, I think any good deck, any good set of metrics that you're going to hand over, you're going to have that box over to the right, or it might be over to the left, depending on how you put your stuff together. That's going to have you're going to have comments. You're going to have the pointer to the spike. You're going to have why did it go down? Because just as much as why stuff goes down, you know, or why stuff goes up, you know, people want to know why stuff's going down. What are we doing good? Where are we excelling at? You know, how are we achieving that? What's the model that we need to replicate in other areas to get the same net effect? So I do see, and I write metrics every month. I actually am responsible for putting together a metrics set of slides every month that goes up to our global CISO and gets shared, you know, through the organization. And, you know, it comments mean everything. It's in how you, to your point, how you write the story, what's the narrative, what are you trying to say? Sometimes the numbers speak for themselves. I actually, you know, vol numbers, number of criticals showing up in an organization, but there's context around those numbers. There's the, what did we develop? You know, I think it's more mean time to remediation, like how long it's taking to close something in the vulnerability world versus the fact that, oh my God, I have 80 million critical vulnerabilities.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, but 79 million of those are on one server that has access from one person in the middle of your network that has 60 firewalls around it.
Yeah, right, exactly. So that's the other part of this that I think is crucial is when you don't give that information, when you don't have that information, it wastes an opportunity to create some sort of change. And I've been caught saying before, numbers don't lie, people who make them up do. But you know, and 98.7% of all metrics are fake. But if you're gathering data, and back when I worked for GE, we all alternated who was the poor sucker that had to go to all, you know, 60 some odd or whatever that number was, semantic antivirus parent servers and gather up how many were total, how many checked in that month, how many were on the current rev of definitions, how many were two revs back, how many were more than two revs back, and like last time they checked it, like all these things. And I remember we had this huge spreadsheet of things we had to fill in. And I can't help but look back at that. And as somebody who didn't know better at the time and had nobody to tell me, this is what they wanted, I just did my job, right? And I look back at that and go, we wasted so much time.
Yep.
And what did that accomplish? Literally nothing.
Yep.
It was just a bunch of BSNs, big scary numbers out there. Oh no. That like didn't tell a story. There was nothing. I'm not sure what's worse, Chris, having no data or having data you can't explain, because I think both are detrimental, right?
Well, and both create a problem that you don't want to deal with. Having no data essentially means you're doing nothing. Like you have nothing to back up your story.
Right.
But having data that you can't explain to somebody is just as bad, because if you can't explain it, it's just like having no data. You can't tell the leadership of a company, I have all these big scary numbers and all this crazy stuff, without it being able to give context and give a story or a path forward to what it means to get down from those numbers, get up from those numbers, or, you know, move somewhere within that. And that's the part I think at the end of the day, and I'll be the first one to admit, I mess up the metric sometimes, you know, and I use,
it's hard.
When you're trying to write the story of what it is you want to tell. I had this conversation with one of my peers, but that's actually what we are. We're story writers in a lot of ways. Uh-huh. You know, we're basically trying to explain to the people who run the business the amount of risk and the amount of exposure and the posture that we've placed around something from a security perspective, using data from these wonderful tools that we run and the work that we do, so that we can do one of two things. Okay. A, keep the business profitable, and B, get more budget to continue to keep the business profitable and moving forward. But that's what we do. We're trying to tell a story. And if I think there's one other aspect of this, and this is, I think, really important. So hopefully some of the folks that listen to your talk also listen to this. If you're going to write a story and that story doesn't change for like 8 to 12 months, that's a problem too.
That means you're fired. Is that what that means? Yeah. That's what it should mean.
Yeah.
So listen, I've got an interesting anecdote, and I'm gonna go back to that selling you software when I was at HP. We had a couple of really advanced, now a close friend of mine, CISOs that I worked with, and I remember trying to help frame an entire security program around, and then supplementing some tools in. But we were trying to, I had a lot of good, talented people on my team there, and we were trying to come up with, what's going to move the needle and why. And it turns out there's nothing quite as bad as in the scientific process, right? In the scientific method, you come up with a hypothesis, you try to discredit it by changing, and then to prove whether you're going in the right direction, you change one variable at a time and seeing whether whatever you're trying to measure deviates, right? So if you're trying to measure the effectiveness of, say, security education on your developers, you say, okay, this team had none, they produced X. We put them through mandatory training, they produced X minus Y. We did mandatory training every day, it was X plus 1,000, like whatever that was, right? So it was clear that went the wrong way. But doing in security, there are so often we get into this situation where something happened and we're not entirely sure why it went that way, right? So, I remember looking at numbers. God, this is back in my GE days. One of these situations where was it IPS metrics or something like that, where all of a sudden 1 month we had a phenomenal month apparently, and the numbers went down. We're like, yeah, all right. And then the next month the numbers like quadrupled from the previous month. And I'm like, okay, like what is going on? Well, it turns out if you investigated it, right, it turns out that the reason the numbers went down that month, because they turned off an entire network segment for a while by accident. Okay. So clearly that network segment is going to produce zero data for a while. Cool. All right. I can explain that. And when that number like quadrupled is because not only did they remember to add that network segment back during the next change control process, but they also integrated a new acquisition we had done and basically like let open the floodgates, and every bad creepy crawly mally thing spilled over the wall. And suddenly we had, crazy numbers. But looking at that graph, I'm like, hey, we got great. Oh my God, we got awful. And we're back to like semi-decent. And I can just imagine the people that I had to report this to kind of sitting across the table from me going, what are you saying? Like, what does this mean? Like, yep. I feel like I would have taken me from that day, grabbed myself by the shoulder, shaken me quite a bit. What are you saying? Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think everybody that gets into InfoSec or IT, let's just say IT as a whole, the young versions of us look back on it and go, man, I really argued over that. Like I fought over that. I'll never forget. Oh, side trip story here. I'll never forget it was probably Twitter at the time. Maybe no, it might've been something else. I got into a battle with a well-known vulnerability management company. One of their engineers over measuring, you know, metrics for vulnerability counts. And I was arguing one way, he was arguing the other. But you know, in the young, you know, in our young and stupid days, you know, we looked at it as, but why don't you believe these numbers? Why aren't you afraid of these big, scary numbers? And you start to realize as you go through your career and time and you look at this stuff, you're like, oh, that's why you don't believe these big, scary numbers, because there's nothing really telling about these big, scary numbers. There's nothing to be afraid of, because you haven't really boiled down what it is I'm supposed to be afraid of.
Well, and I'd like to ask folks that listen, and I'd like to ask you something that to kind of do for yourself, right? If you had to describe your security program over 2020, one or two metrics would you use? What would you measure to show that you've done better, that you've done well, that you've done poorly, the impact of the virus, lockdowns, budget crisis, whatever? What metrics would you use?
That would be really interesting.
And if you don't have an answer, and if you're struggling to come up with something, I'm kind of curious. What kind of stuff, and if you do report metrics, right? What do you report? What moves the needle for you? How do you describe your security program? Because I think that is something that's very difficult to do. It is oftentimes not very portable from one business to another, much less from one market segment to another. And it's difficult because different leaders care about different things. Different leaders, I mean, the people we report to. If you report to a CFO, it's one thing. CRO, another. Senior Vice President of Legal, another. Right? CIO, something else. In retail, in finance, does your company care about being on the internet accessible, or is there data that you can't afford to lose? So does that mean you're going to measure how many times you were knocked off the internet by DDoS attacks, or how many incidents you had of data theft, actual exfiltrated data theft? Like, these things matter, because otherwise you're throwing numbers at people without really A, setting a goal, B, giving it right narrative, and C, asking for the conclusion. And if you don't have these things, then we're back to becoming part of the problem. It is so frustrating. Because I've done it. I know how difficult it is. But of all the advancements we've had in security, of all the things that we've spent research and money and conferences and talks and all this on, the thing that I think costs the least of any of this is to sit down and figure out how the hell you measure whether you're doing better or worse.
Yep.
What does it mean? Right? And I don't know. It shouldn't be this hard. And yet...
still eludes us.
Yeah.
It's still the ever moving target. So
what's your favorite metric, Chris?
Well, you know, I live in the vuln space, so I have a particular personal favorite, and that's the mean time to remediation.
Okay.
The longer something lives out there, the better the chance that somebody's going to use it against you.
That is absolutely fair. I like that. So it's not a big scary number.
No, it's not, because, and that's the point, is it, could I measure and give my leadership and the leadership above my leaders a big scary numbers? Oh my God, we have this many criticals. Yes. And I do. But I also have a really cool little trend line next to it that tells how long something's been open, and that those are the worst of the worst. And the longer something's open, the less likely that it is going to be used against us at some point.
So my favorite is a business impact metric typically. It generally works for companies that are impacted by not being able to transact or process mm-hmm. or be accessible. And that is the amount of downtime, offline time caused by something security related, right? It's an amalgamation of malware incidents, DDoS attacks, security oopses, firewall rule changes, you know, project downtime, whatever, right? And it's the amount of time.
That's right there. You've hit the nail on the head of something that matters to the business.
Correct.
Because the amount of time that your website is not processing transactions or your payment system, let's say you're a payment system provider and you're not processing credit card transactions for your clients,
right?
You're not making money. I mean, you're literally not making money.
Yeah. And that's, you know, unless you're a charity, that's literally that what is, your company does. So.
You have literally, like, you've ground to a halt, and you have shown that whatever program that you have isn't working. So,
well, and then of course, the second best to that one is the ones that support that say, and here's why.
Yeah.
Right. Because we are down is like, that's great. So what? You go, well, fun you should ask, and I'm glad you asked, because here's the thing that made that number so bad.
Yeah.
You go, oh, well, how do we fix that? And then you sort of explode that and go, well, there's seven things that we could do. This one, anyway, highest impact, blah, 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 lowest cost. But all right, we've run out of time. We've been babbling for a bit. That's been fun, Chris. I'm going to give you the last word.
Storytelling.
Is that one word? I guess it's, yeah, storytelling. That's one word. That's a good word. All right, folks, thanks for listening. It's been a pleasure having you guys, you know, join us along for this ride. When Sean and Marco approached me to do something different, DTSR is coming up on 10 years in September. I should do something. I don't know what I'm going to do, but something.
There will be we've talked about this. There will be something. It'll probably be on a beach. We'll probably have there'll be drinks. We'll.
Yeah, well, if we can find somebody to sponsor a cruise ship, we're gone. Yeah, we'll see how that works. But yeah, this has been fun. I mean,
Carnival's got a bunch of ships sitting offshore right now, Raph. So.
Ouch. But I bet their security metrics suck right now. I'm sorry. I'm not making light of a terrible thing. But yeah, I mean, proves the point. Yeah, but no, it's been fun doing something completely different. I feel like we need a John, and now for something completely different. Monty Python-esque John Cleese tagline here. But you having fun, Chris?
I am having fun. Good. I love our little chats over whiskey.
Yeah, that's good. We have good times. So, folks, you know, as you guys start to RSS this thing and find us on. On LinkedIn and wherever else not, Marco and Sean post these things on ITSP magazine. I would love to hear your suggestions for what you want us to talk about. Throw us suggestions. Voice your opinions. Rant along with us.
Please.
Rant with us so we don't have to. All right. This has been great. Another one down. And we'll see you guys with another full glass when we do this again. Good night.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Indistinguishable from Magic podcast with Rafal Loos and Chris Abramson. If you learned something new and this conversation made you think, then share itspmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.